it is. Hey, I found stuff.
Oh, hey, what's up? How's it going, guys? It's the great one. Say, great one, why was there no podcast on Friday? Well, because the great one was doing shit, okay? And honestly, the great one just wasn't in the fucking mood, because the great one had been working way too much lately, as you know. I've been bitching about that. You can scream and shout with all your might. Speaking of bitching, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for the safe space. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinions up your ass, that way the Trump and Furious cock has something to keep it company. And yes, I am drinking a martini made with Navy Strength Plymouth Gin. Thank you. Thank you very much. The official alcoholic beverage of the Seneca Libertarian Society, Plymouth Gin. They should be paying for a sponsorship, but they are not because they hate children. Obviously, if you're not giving me money, you hate children. That's a fact. And this is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys motherfucking statists all around the goddamn world. All you nasty, filthy little statists whining about who's going to build roads and who's going to take care of the poor people and who's going to force children into public education and tell them things like boys and girls are just social constructs created by the patriarchy to oppress women, and that all Republicans are racist, despite the fact that the Democrats actually founded the Ku Klux Klan. And that's, of course, why especially left-wing statists are so fucking terrified of history, because history doesn't treat them very well. Anyhow, not going to talk about all that today. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about me. My exploits. We're going to tell stories. Hi, I'm the Great One himself. I'm the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I've been podcasting for 12 years. That's right, 12 years. Longer than you. 12 years, 13th birthday on November the 1st, in the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer, 2017. It's going to happen. We are here at the Palatial Recording Studios of the Cynical Libertarian Society behind enemy lines in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. Go outside and you see all these zombies around you, and they all voted for Hillary Clinton. They're all looking at their fucking cell phones, and a bunch of them, they're fucking vegans, and they got fucking hairy legs, and I'm not talking about the guys, I'm talking about the girls. But despite all of this, I persevere. I persevere. It's rough, let me tell you something, man. Just not being able to have an intelligent conversation, it's rough. In the control room, on the other side of the glass, being seen and not heard the way women should be, although she is not making me a pie, which is what she should be doing right now, because that's what women should do, is shut their mouths and make me a pie, is the lovely and adorable Randy. Email address, if you want to send us email, God, it's dog spelled backwards, G-O-D, at C-Y-N-L-I-B-S-O-C.com on the interwebs. I got a little notification from the feminist book that somebody sent me a message on feminist book over at the Cynical Libertarian Society Facebook page. And it sends you a little thing and it says, you have a message, but to read it, you need Facebook Messenger. Remember the old days? Maybe you don't. I don't know. It used to be if someone sent you a message on Feminist Book would send you an email if you had these things enabled, which I do, and tell you what the person actually wrote in the fucking message. I just want to reinforce for those of you out there, you can send me messages on Feminist Book. I'm not going to read them because I don't log into Feminist Book. I don't do Feminist Book, guys. I've moved beyond this. So I don't know what this person wants, but it can't be very important. The person obviously doesn't listen to the podcast, right? Because if you listen to this podcast, I very clearly tell you the fucking email address to email me at. I don't say anything ever about messaging me on Feminist Book. By the way, let me think about, I'm thinking about that. I've hit some fucking... gotten some mail from the fans. Let me see if I can find this real quick to respond to it. Anonymous sent me a nice little doctored photo of Hussein Obama with pointy ears and horns. Thank you for that. That's pretty cool. I will work that in somewhere. And no, he asked me, I come across a guy by the name of Ernest Belfort Bax, an OG anti-feminist philosopher. I was wondering if you were familiar with his work. No, I'm not. I'd never heard of him, but I did look him up on the Wikipedia or whatever, and it looks interesting. So I'm going to see if I can look into some of this guy's books. And again, it's Ernest Belfort, spelled like it sounds, B-E-L-F-O-R-T, Bax, B-A-X. And I had not heard of this gentleman before, and I will be looking into him, seeing if I can find some of his stuff. And then I had something else somewhere. Oh, here we go. Anonymous, not Anonymous, Anonymous, wrote in and asked me, is this your work? And there's the three-letter symbol for the token looks suspicious. Somebody out there has created a, what do you call those things? Cryptocurrency, which is, and the address for this is Coinless, C-O-I-N-L-E-S-S, .io. And it is, the abbreviation for the coin is CLS. And so the Anonymous was wondering if this had anything to do with me because of the CLS-ness. I'm waiting for it to load up. Waiting on the internet. Yes, introducing Coinless, the best way to invest in nonsense and still make some money out of it. White paper. Yeah, so anyway, there's some stuff. Founders. Karl Marx, Milton Friedman, Adam Smith. Advisors, Yoda. Nice. Anyhow, I don't really know that much about what this is about, but no, it has nothing to do with me, but thank you for asking. Anyhow, what's up, guys? I did mention I'm drinking a martini. I did not podcast yesterday, which is Friday. Today is Saturday, September 23rd in the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer, 2017, who has still not built a wall, nor has he put any fucking Democrats in concentration camps. And I notice Hillary Clinton is not in jail yet. I seem to remember hearing something about swamp draining. Oh, is there any swamp drainage happening? No. Looks pretty fucking swampy to me. As long as Hillary Clinton is not in prison, it's looking pretty fucking swampy. But of course, you know, it's more important to put people in prison for stupid shit like, who knows, who cares? Really don't want to bitch about politics today. I really don't. Because I'm really not in the mood. I'm not. As you know, I was out of town for 2 weeks doing gigs and shit, and then I got back. And still, I think I'm finally back into normal mode. Yesterday, Friday, I was going to get up early and I was going to do a podcast on Thursday, but then Thursday I did some other stuff, and then a friend of mine, we'll call her Rachel. Rachel and I went over to Wellington, which is a small town just north of the People's Republic of Fort Collins, and there's a brewery over there that started up, and there is a fish and chips food truck that frequents the area, and that brewery is where it is on Thursdays. And we're both fans of fish and chips, and so it's like, hey, we're going to go over, and I need to close the email program before I get distracted. So anyhow, we made an arrangement to go up there to the brewery and check out the fish and chips food truck. The food truck is called On the Hook or Off the Hook? On the Hook Fish and Chips. It was pretty damn good. I mean, the fries were just sort of frozen fries, no big deal. But the fish itself, the fish was pretty damn delicious, especially for a food truck. As I've said before, the best fish and chips in the People's Republic of Fort Collins area is actually at Wellington Grill, which is also in Wellington. That's why it's called Wellington Grill. And you would not think you would find fish and chips that are this amazing, and someplace like Wellington Grill, which is very... Wellington is a small town, so it's very much... It's the opposite of the People's Republic of Fort Collins, right? You go into Wellington Grill, and on this door, they have stickers saying, guns welcome. You know, and there's signs that say things like, please keep your weapon holstered unless some shit happens. And then, you know, please shoot people in the head and stuff like that. And there's dead animals on the wall and dead animals on the counters. And it's just very small towny Texas in its demeanor. Exactly the sort of thing that would never fly here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, where if you believe there's only two genders, then people think that you're mentally ill, because everyone knows there's 73,000 different genders, and the concept that men and women are different is a social construct created by the patriarchy for the express purpose of oppressing women. So anyhow, didn't do any recording on Thursday because we were up in Wellington. And then we came... Wait, did we go? The fuck did we do? We went somewhere. Where'd we go? After Wellington. Oh, we went to Pinball Jones. And we played pinball for a while. And by the time I got home, I sure as hell didn't feel like podcasting. Got up this morning... Oh, and then also, what I spent all day Friday doing was running errands, because after being out of town for so long, because I got no food in the fridge, I got all this stuff that needs to be done. So I had to go to the grocery store, because I have no fresh fruit, and I got no fucking fresh veggies, and I got no green leafy stuff. So I had to do a grocery store run and buy a bunch of shit, and then I had to deal with it, and to go pay some bills and shit and do this, because I pay bills every now and then. Got up this morning... Saturday, went to the farmer's market, got some more fresh fruits and veggies and stuff. So now my kitchen is pretty well stocked back up. Came home, fucked around a little bit, trying to catch up on all the goddamn emails. Then I went to the trail running. First decent, good trail running day I've had in probably 3 weeks. It's about 55 degrees outside. It's cloudy. It's sprinkling rain. The rain, because it's Colorado, is of course freezing fucking cold, because that's the only kind of rain we get here. It's not like back in Texas where we get warm rain. So I went trail running in the cold ass rain in the 55 degree weather. It was fucking wonderful. Came home, made some munchies, had some fucking din-din, ate a little pork chop, and ate some fucking green shit, ate a tomato, delicious fucking tomatoes. I was never a big fan of tomatoes when I was a kid, because of course all we ever had was tomatoes that came from a fucking store. And my mother would always be trying to get me to eat tomatoes because, of course, my mother is a left-wing statist. And left-wing statists are fucking obsessed with controlling other people, especially with controlling what other people eat. Right? When I was a kid, I didn't like mushrooms. I still don't like mushrooms. Didn't like liver. Still don't like liver. Didn't like avocados, which now I eat the fuck out of avocados, and didn't like tomatoes, which now that I've had real tomatoes, I understand why, because the tomatoes you get in the store are disgusting. I mean, they're not really disgusting, they're just really bland. There's nothing exciting about them. But you go to the farmer's market and you get the tomatoes, all the different varieties, the yellows and the greens and the browns and all this other stuff. Oh, they're so delicious. My mother, being a left-wing statist and being obsessed with controlling what other people eat, will always, even when I go back home, she'll fucking try to sneak liver and mushrooms into everything. I made this. I'm like, okay, I'm going to eat it. Oh, and I put mushrooms in it, and it has liver in it. And I'm just like, okay, well, you realize I'm going to sit here and pick that out, right? Like, cut it up really small. You know, she can't just fucking make food that doesn't have liver and mushrooms in it because she's so fucking obsessed with controlling other people, and especially controlling the food they eat. I can't figure out why you left-wing statists are so hated by normal people. It just baffles me. I mean, you're such wonderful fucking people who believe in tolerance and diversity and multiculturalism. You know, when you're not trying to control what other... You mean you're not a vegan? Oh my God, I used to not be a vegan, but then I became a vegan because I really care about the children. And I just realized that the impact I was having on the planet Earth by eating meat, it was really going to negatively affect the children's. And I said, I have to care about the children's. I have to do something. So I became a vegan. And if you're not a vegan, then you're just not as good as I am. All right, enough of that. More stories, because I have more stories. I'm trying to think if I got all the stories. I told you guys stories. Let's, all right, this goes in this pile. I got piles going on. This is a pile of shit I need to do. That needs to not be here. As a future episode of stating that is also a future episode of stating the obvious. This is a future episode of stating the obvious. This I need now. This is a future episode. What is this? This is today. This is today. This is today. All right, let's wrap up talking about Estes Park. Some of you heard the episode, the previous one. If you didn't hear it, well then, fuck you. You don't care about children. Oh, speaking of not caring about children. Okay, so if you care about children, you would want to listen to every episode of Stating the Obvious podcast. And you would, of course, also obviously want to give me Bitcoin. You can do that at the website. The address is right there. For those of you who think I need to install additional software for you to donate Bitcoin, perhaps you don't know how Bitcoin works. Dude, have you seen Bitcoin? Last I looked, is like 3,500 bucks a coin right now. Just missed the boat on that one, man. So missed the boat on the Bitcoin. Should have bought it when it was $200 a coin, but oh no. No, the great one's like, oh no, that's kind of expensive. It might go down in value. Better not buy any Bitcoin. I mean, it could still go down. It could crash any moment. We know that. That's called reality. But still, if I had just bought one fucking Bitcoin, ugh. All these pauses are brought to you by Plymouth Gin, by the way. I am sipping the martini is so good. This is the first martini I've had in a while. Weeks. What the hell was I talking about? Let's see. Oh, Estes Park. No, wait. Let's see. I finished talking about my mother wants to control everybody's food because she cares about tolerance. Oh, children! Caring about the children. God damn it. Why is this so hard to remember? All right. Hang on. Let me... All right. You know what? I'll tell you guys about this next episode because I'm not ready because I was going to tell you how big it is. Oh, that's a yes. I was going to tell you how big it is. Never mind. I'll tell you about how you need to give me money to care about the children later on. All right. Let's wrap up talking about Estes Park, and then we'll move to the other gig where I get to tell you about this hotel that we stayed at. Just a fucking disaster. Oh my God, it was a disaster. But a funny disaster. Another thing about Estes Park, you know, I was ragging on it for being a third world country for numerous reasons, but I also pointed out that there were good things about it, such as no homeless people. It was nice to be back in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. I go to downtown Fort Collins for the first time in over a week, actually 2 weeks, because during the short amount of time we were back between the one gig and the other gig, I didn't go downtown for any reason because I didn't have time. I was only home for one day. Went to downtown Fort Collins for the first time in 2 weeks, and it was good to see that nothing had changed. There's homeless people on every corner, smelling like dead animals, begging for money, and when you just walk past them, or when they're, dude, do you have any change? I just need 28 cents. Like, no, man, I didn't have any change. Like, I bet you have a lot of change. You just don't want to give any of it away. It's like, God, it's just so and again, this is the problem. This is where we're at, okay? I would go over there and kick these people in the fucking teeth, but the police would show up and arrest me because I have a job, I pay taxes, you know, I all this other shit. The homeless scum sitting out there and I'm not talking about homeless people who are normal. Okay? There are normal people out there who, for whatever reason or another, become homeless. Temporary. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the career homeless people. Okay? You can be homeless and not be obnoxious. You can be homeless and not accost people on the street. You can be homeless and not call people names. You can be homeless and not disrupt businesses, which they do. They'll sit right in front of the businesses and smoke their cigarettes, which is hilarious because it's illegal to smoke in downtown Fort Collins. Yet somehow or another, the homeless people sit right there in front of the fucking businesses and smoke their cigarettes. You know, and the cops just don't give a flying fuck. It's truly, truly hilarious to me because I talked about this before. This is a story from way back. I wasn't going to talk about politics and shit. Here I am. If you remember correctly, I told you guys about how there were three homeless people here. Actually, I don't know if the one guy's even homeless. Okay, there were three homeless people. They were harassed by the cops or something. The cops told them you can't beg on the sidewalk, whatever the hell it was. The ACLU came to their rescue. And you remember this because I read the article and I told you the end result was that the ACLU got paid something like $28,000. And each of the three homeless people that were harassed by the police each received $100. And I pointed out that this shows you how much the ACLU actually gives a fuck about homeless people. The ACLU, specifically the lawyer for the ACLU, took home $28,000 or whatever it was. The homeless people who were being represented, each got $100. Here's the point. One of those three homeless people, in that specific case, he's this guy. I don't know him personally, but I know who he is because he's always on the same corner and he's got his sign and he's got some kind of, or perhaps had, I don't know, like jaw cancer or something like that. So he's had some surgery and his jaw is partially missing. And the guy has been on he's in the same corner all the time. He's been there for as long as I can remember, at least maybe a year, probably more. And the point I'm getting to is that he never disrupts anything. He's not obnoxious. He's not nasty to people. He's completely fucking, I don't want to say well-behaved because it makes him sound like he's a dog. And I'm not trying to insult the man. That's the whole point. I'm saying he's sitting there. He's got his sign. He's like, please give me some money. But he's not interfering with people. He's not harassing people. He's not being a douchebag. This is one of the three homeless people the Fort Collins police chose to harass. Meanwhile, other homeless people in the downtown area, absolutely fucking obnoxious, yelling at people, insulting people, the cops don't do a fucking thing about it. As I have told you before, the police are not here to protect normal people from criminals. The police are here to protect the criminals from the normal people. The homeless people the cops should be beating down. Yes, you heard me say that right. The homeless people that are disruptive and nasty and fucking attacking people, verbally attacking people, the ones that should be beat down by the cops don't get beat down. The ones who are polite, oh no, we're going to harass those guys. Why? Because, well, they're not going to give us any trouble, probably. Why am I bitching? I'm not supposed to be talking about this. Here's the point. In Estes Park, there are no homeless people. It was really nice. Here's the other point. Here's what I'm actually getting to. We're 25 minutes into the podcast. Let me start getting to the point. Here's the other thing that was nice about Estes Park. Apparently, nobody's worried about bicycle theft. That's a big thing here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. Your bicycle will disappear in a heartbeat. I'm up there in Estes Park, and I go to the Safeway, and there's all these bicycles out in front of the store, just leaning against the front wall of the store. Not one of them is locked up. I'm like, holy shit. And I'm going down the strip there and looking at restaurants and stuff. And you'd see the bicycles in beside the restaurants just sitting there. You'd see the bicycles kind of over to the side and behind the restaurants and the bars. One would sort of conclude from their location that they belong to the people who work there, although maybe not. But just sitting there, not locked up. I'm like, what the hell? Nobody locks up bicycles in this town? Yeah, so that part was kind of nice. Other than that, it's a third world country. All right, trying to think, what other stories do I need to tell you? From while I was in Estes Park, in a bar, I had to suffer watching television because I don't watch television, and I saw a commercial for a business called The Money Tree. This is not an endorsement. The Money Tree is apparently one of these things that makes loans to poor people. And I'm watching this commercial, and there's all these people who are really good looking for poor people. And the Money Tree comes on, and the thing he says that you can get a loan for up to $500. How? How are there people out there who are so fucking poor that they would need a loan for $500? I'm poor as fuck. I make what? I made $24,000 last year or some shit. I can pull out $500 in cash. Like in the amount of time it takes me to walk across the room to one of the places where I have money hidden. How do you not have $500? And all these people in this commercial, for people who are so fucking poor, they don't have $500. Boy, they sure had nice teeth. They were wearing really good clothing. How do you not have $500? What are you spending your fucking money on that you don't have? That the fucking homeless people in Fort Collins have $500 because they're not as poor as you think they are. That's part of their shtick. Speaking of shticks, let's talk about idiots that I work with. So there's this idiot that I work with. We'll call him Charles. I've talked about Charles. Charles is a very high maintenance person that when you order food in a restaurant, everything's got to be special and all this other shit. And he always has to have ice for his water bottle because God forbid he just drink room temperature water. So we're at the end of the Estes Park gig, and we're loading the truck. Now, somebody back up. We got this other guy we're working with. He's basically doing the light board programming. We'll call this kid, I don't know, we'll call him Evan. Evan, he's young, he's 18, maybe 19, very arrogant, kind of like somebody else we know. Thinks he knows more than he really knows. Fucks things up on a regular basis. Where I put some of my gear out there as a side tangent to show you just how much I want to kill Evan, because how much I want to kill Evan is important later on. So I have these dimmer packs for the lights, and I put the dimmer packs up on the truss. And I say, Evan, what address do you want me to give the dimmer packs? And Evan says, well, I'll give him this address. All right, so great. I program the dimmer packs, and you program them by flipping little dip switches on them. Put the dimmer packs up on the truss, plug everything in, it's all set. I'm standing there, Evan walks up to the fucking dimmer packs, and just flips all the fucking dip switches into the off position, thus completely fucking up the configuration. I'm going, what are you doing? Why did you do that? And he gave me some, I don't even remember what the fuck he said. And I said, well, now you've got them all addressed as one. That's not going to work. You just fucked it up. He says, oh, well, can you fix it? I said, well, why should I fix it? You're the one who messed it up. And he says, well, what, you don't know how to fix it? And I swear on all the theater gods and the non-aggression principle can suck my dick. The only reason I did not punch him in the face right there was because the person who is paying us money happened to be standing there at the time. Otherwise, I would have fucking decked him. I have not hated and been that pissed off at another human being probably in years. I mean, it's just like walking up to a fucking, you know, just walking up to a fucking computer and just deleting files or something. I don't even understand what in the fuck's name makes him think that you walk up to a piece of equipment you know nothing about and just flip the fucking switches. So anyhow, my hatred for Evan is beyond bounds. That's your reference point. So we got Charles. Charles and his whiny little high-maintenance ass. So the end of the night comes, and the gig is over, and we're packing everything on the truck. And I told Charles, I said, Charles, there's a lot of shit to put on the truck. Be sure you stack things all the way to the ceiling. Right? So you got to pack the fucking truck all the way full. As those of you who have listened to this podcast for a while know, and if you've heard truck stories, you know that nobody ever listens when it comes to the truck. So, we're getting everything on there, we're getting near the end, and we're running out of room on the truck. Now, there's plenty of room on the truck, it's just it's all up on the top, because when I said to stack things tall in the truck to go all the way to the ceiling, because there's a lot of stuff to put on the truck, that didn't actually mean to pack the truck tall and go all the way to the ceiling. That meant totally ignore what the fuck I'm saying and just do things the lazy, stupid way, the way you always do. So Charles is trying to load the truck, to pack the truck. He's the packing the fudge. Charles is the truck master. He's trying to get everything on the truck, and it's not fucking fitting. He's just about to break down because he doesn't handle stress very well. Well, Evan, whom I want to kill, jumps up on the back of the truck and starts going, okay, we'll put this over here, put this over there, push this over here, okay, give me that. Evan got up there and fucking masterminded loading the truck. This 19-year-old kid just fucking schooled this 30-year-old quote-unquote adult on how to put shit in a fucking truck. Which, in retrospect, I thought about it, because Evan has been doing this shit since he's like 14 years old. He's been loading trucks and doing gigs, and he still sucks at doing gigs, which is kind of amazing. But he does have a fucking skill set when it comes to loading a truck. So we get all the way to the end. And the important thing to remember is that Charles votes. This is why democracy doesn't work. You say, great one, what's the point of this story? The point of this story is why democracy is a bad idea. Because when you have unintelligent people making political decisions, you get the war in Afghanistan. You get Obamacare. You get Muslims being murdered by missiles launched from flying robots. And not even the Muslims who are murdering people or raping women. Like if Obama had killed Muslims who were raping women in Sweden, that would have been okay. But when you're killing Muslims who are at weddings, I mean, really? You think that's who you're going to kill? Oh, the Muslim rapist? No, they're totally okay. But those Muslims over here who are like at a wedding, hanging out with their friends, having a good time, those Muslims will fucking shoot with missiles. We'll kill those Muslims. But God forbid we kill a fucking Muslim that raped a woman. Not that I care about women getting raped. I think you women deserve to be raped. You're the one who want the Muslim rapists to come here. Remember how I wasn't talking about politics? Oh yeah, Charles. Remember where the fuck I was at. We got everything on. Everything's on the truck, thanks to Evan, because Charles is about to break down. Charles is useless at this point, other than just lifting heavy objects. And, of course, voting Democrat. We have a shopping cart, which I fill with extension cords. Big, you know, 20, 50, 100-foot extension cords. Everything is on the truck except the shopping cart full of extension cords. And Charles turns around and he sees the shopping cart full of extension cords. And he says, that's never going to fit on the truck. And he was microseconds, not microaggressions, but microseconds away from just breaking down in tears. I'm standing on the ground trying not to laugh because it's so funny, because he's so fucking pathetic. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, all we have to do is take the extension cords out of the shopping cart and just throw them on top of stuff, because you've got all this room on top of everything because you didn't stack all the way to the ceiling like I fucking told you to. And then you take the shopping cart, you flip it on its side, and you throw it on top of stuff because you've got all this room on top of the road cases because you didn't stack all the way to the fucking ceiling like I fucking told you to do. Like, this is really easy to solve. He's just about to break into tears. And Evan says, hey, all we got to do is take the power cords out and we'll throw them over here, and then we take the shopping cart, we flip it on its side, and we throw it on top. And I'm going, God damn it. How is it that this fucking 19-year-old kid, whom I want to kill for being incompetent as fuck when it comes to doing lighting, is schooling your fucking ass on loading a goddamn truck? So Charles fucking, we throw the thing on and Charles fucking survives just barely because he's so goddamn delicate. All right. So we roll into the next week. We're at the other gig, which I'll talk about. Where are we on time? Holy shit. I spent a lot of time talking about nothing. We roll into the gig the next week. And we're actually, it's two gigs. So we're doing the gig over at the event center that I told you guys about, the ones that wanted all this extravagant shit and then had a $5,000 budget. We ended up doing that. I don't know exactly what we charged them in the end. It was more than $5,000 because they wanted all this shit. God, was that kind of a disaster. I mean, we got through it, but Jesus. They, again, I can a little bit understand, because it's a new facility. I understand there's going to be problems. But all the people working there, this is not their first day, right? It's not like the staff is not composed of, you know, 22-year-old college graduates who have never had a real job in their life. The staff, the management staff, is composed of people who, in theory, have done this before. These are like 40, 50, 60-year-old people. This is supposed to be their career, their job. They've worked at other facilities and just as clueless as fuck about the most basic things. So we did that gig for the new event center, and we did a wedding the next week. So we had two big ass gigs. This wedding was not like an easy wedding where you do a little piece of drape and you shoot a fucking gobo on the wall. Oh God, no. This wedding was fucking killer. So the entire next week, Charles, you'd be watching him and he's attempting to work because he's the slowest fucking person in the world. Not just mentally slow, but also physically slow, as in doing stuff. You know, because he's, again, Democrat, left-wing statist. I mean, I should just get money for being alive, right? I vote Democrat every 2 years. I should just be given money for that. you'd be watching him, and every once in a while he would like clutch his chest and sort of crunch up like he's having a heart attack or something. And I kept watching him and thinking, what is he doing? Is he positioning himself to get out of work? You know, is he having a heart attack? Is there such a thing as a heart attack that goes 3-4 days? I don't know what the fuck's happening. And remember, this guy votes. And you're voting. Because what's that saying about you? In order to have a democracy, you have to have a well-educated public or whatever it is. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Intelligence. Yeah, that we have a lot of intelligence in our voting population. We get back from the gig. We're back home. We're back in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. We take a day off. It's the next day. We're supposed to come in. We got to unload the truck and put everything away and all this other horseshit. And here's Charles. Actually, in the previous podcast, when my phone went off and a text message, and I was like, oh, this guy's not coming to work. Okay, this is the guy I'm talking about. Charles isn't coming to work. So I'm like, well, what the fuck is going on? So I go in. Come to find out, Charles claims, I haven't seen an x-ray or anything, he said, I'm not saying he didn't, I'm just saying I haven't seen evidence. Charles broke a rib. Hence the clutching of the chest all week long. Okay, now remember, this person votes. Let's go through this. Let's talk about this, guys. There is such a thing as normal pain, right? And we all, in theory, those of us who have self-awareness, we know our bodies. For example, I was in the military. I was not a transsexual. I was normal. I still am. I was in the United States Infantry. I wasn't an x-ray technician or a fucking button pusher. I wasn't in the cavalry like the old guys ride horses. I'm a lieutenant in the United States Army and I get paid to ride horses. I was an infantry soldier, a foot soldier. Great one. What did they teach you to do in the military? They taught me to kill people. Would you like to come and fuck with me? Because I will kill you and it won't bother my conscience. Because the state, the government that you worship, that you need to build roads for you, taught me how to not give a fuck about killing people. Yeah. Yeah, I can do that. I was in the infantry. I did 20-mile road marches, carrying all my gear in a full rucksack, did 12 miles a day. I have kind of crappy knees sometimes. My knees get a little bit of pain in them. Every once in a while, the pain in the knee will really kick in, and I'll be like, ooh, and I'll be hobbling a little bit. This is normal pain, because it's a ongoing thing with my body, and it's like, I know when I can work through it and when I have to slow down, right? So everybody out there, you have something. Probably everyone out there has some kind of pain that occurs in their body once in a while. Or even like you're working and, you pull something. It's like, oh, man, I jacked my shoulder a little bit. It's like, well, but okay, I'm feeling it. You know, it's okay. I just need to take it easy a little bit. I can tell it will be okay. Now, I've also had stress fractures in my fourth and fifth metatarsal, which for those of you who don't know, that stress fracture just means there's a crack in the bone. The bone is cracked, but it's not sheared in half. Now, I would have thought that simply a crack in your bone, because there's no nerves in your bone, I'm like, well, how much could that possibly hurt? I mean, there's no nerves in your bone. Why would you even feel it? Well, then I actually got stress fractures, and I can tell you it hurts like a motherfucker. I've never had a broken bone in my life. The stress fractures, that's the closest I've ever come to a broken bone. Hurt like fuck. The point is, a great one, is there a point? Maybe, I don't know. I'm talking and drinking a martini. Fuck you. If you don't, go get your own fucking podcast if you're not liking it. My point, such as it is, is that speaking as a person who's never had a broken rib, I would think that if you have a broken rib, it would hurt like a motherfucker. I would also think that a non-stupid person, For example, somebody who does not vote Democrat would be sufficiently self-aware and intelligent to say, "Ooh, wait a minute. This isn't a normal pain that's going to go away. Something's really fucked up here." I would also think that a normal, intelligent person, such as somebody who doesn't vote Democrat, after, say, 4 days of agonizing pain in their chest, would be like, "Oh, something could be wrong here. Maybe," now this is going to be a stretch, because I know that this is really going to be a stretch. I know I'm expecting way too much. How many of you out there have ever had a job in your life? Raise your hand. Okay, now, how many of you have ever known somebody who's had a job? Raise your hand. Now, how many of you know that if you are at work and you get injured, what should you do? Anyone? Yes, you in the back. Exactly. If you get injured at work, you fucking tell somebody in the chain of command. He went the entire fucking week, never said a word to any of us in the chain of command. He did not say a word to the second officer. He didn't say a word to the first officer, which is me, and he didn't say a word to the captain of the ship, the owner of the company. The three of us, to whom he should report the fact that he's been injured, didn't say a fucking word. Then on top of that, when we get back, instead of going to the medical facility with which the company's fucking medical insurance has the deal, right? So you go there and you get checked out and the company's medical fucking insurance, fucking whatever it is, you know, pays for it, right? Because we have the insurance, we have all this shit. You get injured at work, you go over here, it's all paid for, it's all taken. No, he didn't do that. He goes to the fucking hospital emergency room, which causes this billing nightmare. Thank you, Obamacare and government regulation. But then without the government, who would build roads? And I'm just, I almost wanted to say, well, okay, that was kind of manly of him that he worked this entire time with a broken rib. But I thought about it and I said, no, manly would be if you break your rib and you come to your supervisor and you say, "Hey, I think I broke my rib, but I'm going to push through the rest of the day. We'll get everything done and then I'll go get it checked out." That would be manly. When you break your rib and you're too stupid to know that something's really seriously wrong, and you're too stupid to tell anybody in the chain of command that you've injured yourself, and then you're too stupid to go to the fucking medical insurance fucking thingamabobby fucking medical place, and instead you go to the fucking emergency room and cause additional paperwork and fucking heartache for everybody involved. See, that's not manly. That's just fucking stupid. That is voting Democrat. That is what a Democrat voter looks like. And that is why democracy doesn't work, because this person is allowed to vote. And people just like him all across the United States. How can you be so goddamn dumb? It's a rhetorical question. I know the answer. You vote Democrat. Okay. I can scratch this off. How are we on time? We are almost out of time. It's okay. Short stories. I told the kids, the employees, while we were up in Estes Park, some of the kids were still back down the hill here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. I told them, I said, "Look, I need some wheels put on this road case. Got a road case? Got wheels? Need the wheels put on the road case. Okay, great. I said unto them, you see this road case that has wheels on it? I want the wheels put on this road case exactly. I said the word exactly. Once again, keep in mind these people vote Democrat. This democracy. This is, yeah, it's a great idea. If we just get more stupid people to vote, obviously we'll get better decisions. I said unto them, put wheels on this road case exactly the same way the wheels are mounted on this road case. Okay. Road case A that already had wheels on it, there's the road case. And then there's a piece of 3/4 inch wood attached to the bottom of the road case, and then the wheels are attached to the 3/4 inch wood, because the road case itself is made only out of 1/4 inch wood and will therefore break easily if you abuse it. I come back. I'm like, did you get the wheels on the road case? They're like, oh yeah. I go to the road case B that needed the wheels. They put the wheels directly onto the road case without the fucking piece of 3/4 inch wood in between the wheels and the road case for reinforcement. Which part of exactly is confusing? Which part of democracy doesn't work is confusing? Which part of natural selection needs to be allowed to run its course so as to remove the inferior people from the gene pool so that we, the human species, collectively speaking, can begin to make progress and stop the de-evolution towards white trash? That is not an opinion. Evolution is real. I know you think that natural selection is a social construct created by the patriarchy to oppress women, but it's not. Natural selection is there to remove the stupid people from the gene pool so that the rest of us, we could be going to Mars, we could fucking have stargates, we could have jetpacks, we could have flying cars, but no. Instead, we have to fucking babysit the fucking inferior people who don't understand what the fucking word exactly means and can't figure out that if you take the fucking power cables out of the goddamn shopping cart, you can flip the shopping cart sideways and throw it on top of all the other shit in the truck.